David thanked God for the fact that our sins are forgiven. That is a blessing for which an individual has every reason to be extremely grateful. But you are not the only one who has had your sins forgiven. There are 2 and 3 and 2,000 and 3 million since the first century. I don't know how many. You know, it'd be interesting if we could take all of those people who are sinners and who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ and find a term that would designate those people collectively as one. What would that word be? What? Church. And there are twin epistles written by the Apostle Paul that describes the church in that way. Do you know what two epistles I'm talking about? Written while he was in Rome? We talked about one of them in our first lesson. Ephesians and Colossians. That's right. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, you see in verse 21, 22, there he talks about Christ being the head of the church as the fullness of him who fills all in all. And in those first three chapters, he describes the fullness that we find by being part of this group that Christ has made possible. And so, that's one way the word church is used, to collect all saved people. However, all saved people often don't even know one another's name, much less communicate with one another. Rather, saved people live in different communities. Wouldn't it be great if there was a plan whereby saved people could get together and encourage one another and study together and maybe provide a way for this gospel they love so much to be preached, taught, have fellowship together? And if we could maybe find a word that would describe that particular group, what would it be?
Local church.
Local church. Church again, but this time on a local basis. And what we're grouping these saved people on now, these Christians on, are the basis of their fellowship locally, right? But there are Christians in the state of Texas who never meet together. Could we be able to collect all those Christians in the state of Texas with a word? Could we? Would church fit? It wouldn't? The word church wouldn't gather. Wait, listen to my question again. The word church wouldn't gather all the Christians in Texas? I think I misled you by the word gather. I'm not about a physical assembly. Collect in mind. Collective noun collects in mind on some basis. There is one way the word church is used is talking about a physical gathering. That's where we were in our studies in our last class. And what chapter in your New Testament uses the word over and over that way? Do you remember? What? 1 Corinthians 14. 14. And that's right, 1 Corinthians 14. Look on your lesson. We talked about this briefly in class. There's one difference with the word church in that sense. I noted it on the lesson. Every time we said the units are people, that's not different. But in the first three, we were looking at Christians. But you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23, the word church here seems to be used in a sense in which it can include somebody that's not a Christian. Who is that? The unbeliever who enters the assembly. It's just an assembly, a group. And that's really the basic idea of the word as they used it in the first century. It's just an assembly of people, a group of people. Doesn't say whether they're Christian. Doesn't say why they're gathered for. It could be for civil matters. It could be for riot. It just says a group of people. And so it seems the word is used that way throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 14. How important is it that we understand that when we read verses like verse 34, the women are to keep silent in the churches? If we make that mean local churches, what problem do we run into? Any? No problems? Is it Wednesday night and we're tired?
I wouldn't be able to say anything.
Would you be able to say anything at home? Are you a member of the church when you're at home, the local church?
Yes.
And so if it's talking about in connection with being a member of a local church, she couldn't say anything there either, could she? And of course, keep silent is not just saying anything. The context is an assembly where the speaker addressed the assembly. But nevertheless, it's important for us to distinguish these uses of the word lest we get wrong concepts. Okay? And so in our class, we were moving into the question section. We had suggested on the opening page of your lesson, on the, at least on the table of contents, a way to approach this study, and that is as you work through the outline, that you might look at the questions and make notes as they corresponded to one another. And then as we went through the outline in class, make notes that may help to further explain. And you've noticed already in our approach to the class, we've not strictly went by the outline and into the questions, but tried to put questions that pertain to some of the points that we were covering as we went through them on the outline. All right, so we were on question number 10. I think we've covered all the questions up through number 10. And I realize that with questions, sometimes it's not always clear what the fellow who wrote those things is asking. I know sometimes I have to go back and figure out what I was asking. But we write questions. We could write simple fill-in-the-blank questions if we wanted to, but that's just busy work, in my opinion. We try to write questions that provoke thought and encourage application of the things we're learning. But that requires work. It requires thinking. And sometimes we may not arrive at exactly the same point. But that's the idea of a class, to study together and share with one another's thinking. So we have some verses here under number 10. In what sense is the church, the word church, in other words used is what I'm talking about, spoken of in the following passages? And so we were discussing in our last class Romans 16:16, which is the church universal composed of churches, right? Is that right?
No.
Doesn't it say the churches of Christ? Doesn't it? So if you get all the churches of Christ, that'd be the church, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? No. Why? That is a plurality. What? Church collects people. Collects people. Not churches. And there's no word in Romans 16:16. There's no singular word church there. It's churches. Plural. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:2. How's the word church here used? Local. Church of God at Corinth. Of course, this is not a church of Christ, is it? It's the church of God. It's got the wrong name, right? Which one's the right name, church of God or church of Christ? Does the church have a name? Doesn't have a name. Church of Christ is not a name. Church of God is not a name. We'll talk more about, you'd like to hear this, don't you, in later lessons. But the of God and of Christ are simply defining terms, because church is neutral to those people. We think religion. And we even think of Christ. But when they said church, it was just a group, a body, an assembly. It didn't say what kind. And you needed some qualifiers. And that's what of God and of Christ does. Okay, and so we looked at some other verses in Corinthians that further identified this church as they met together for the Lord's Supper, as they met together for edification, chapter 14, and as they assembled and contributed for a common work, relief of needy Christians, 1 Corinthians 16. So we looked at that in a previous class as well. 1 Corinthians 14, 28. If there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church. How's it used there? Assembly, isn't it? The physical assembly. That's right. In Ephesians 5, 23. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. As the husband is the head of the wife, so Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. As it used here. Universal. I may have missed it, but I know of no place in the entire New Testament that the figure of body, church isn't literally a human body, that's a figure. Figurative language when you take it from something else besides literal. I know of no place that the word body is used of a local church. Now we do that. But as far as I know, it's always speaking, whether it's 1 Corinthians 12 or whether it's Ephesians 1, it's the church in a universal sense. And he said he's the Savior of the body. And so explain to me, take the figure away. Forget the body figure. How is he the Savior of the church?
Save people.
It's not by getting in the right organization, getting the right ticket, getting on the right bus. It's saved people. And those people are part of this group or body. That's right. And you say, so what? Because there's a false confidence sometimes people have because I'm a member of the Church of Christ. They don't live for Christ. And in fact, they've probably been cut off sometimes from Christ because they're alive, but I'm a member of the church. The church is saved people. We quit living for Christ, he cuts us off. We'll talk about that in our next lesson. And we're not a member of the church anymore. You ever think about that? That you can quit being a member of the church? But you can. Okay. Revelation 1:4. Revelation 1:4. The seven churches that are in Asia. How's it used here? What? District? So there's a church composed of churches in Asia? What? What'd you say? Does it say Christians? Seven Christians? Or 70 Christians? Or 700 Christians? What is the phrase, though? You're thinking about what it means, but instead, what does it say? Seven churches. Is that seven districts? Seven local churches. Ephesus, Philippi, Thyatira, Laodicea, etc. Seven groups that met together and had fellowship together and worshiped together. Remember, the defining idea of a local church is what? Fellowship. Sharing together. Okay, there are seven local groups. What are they a part of, those seven local groups? No, they're not. They're not a part of the universal church. They're not a part of anything. We want to make them a part of the universal church, but the word church does not collect churches. If I'm wrong, I could be wrong. Would somebody turn to a verse and show me where the word church collects churches? Anybody? You find it. About 115 times the word occurs in the New Testament. So you've got 115 chances. Find one time it ever collects churches. Okay. We've already done number 11. Number 12. Fill in the following chart. Give scripture to illustrate your answer if applicable. Christian, Christians, church. You take Christians and you collect them together, that's church. And we gave all these scriptures and these verses on the outline, didn't we? Whether you're talking about universal or district or local, whichever. Church, churches. Now we want a word that collects churches. What is it? Denomination. Look at the definition. We gave it to you right here. Now, this is not the definition you're going to find in every dictionary. You know that dictionaries define the way words are used, and they're used in different ways. So your dictionary may not have this definition, but this is a way the word is used. A religious organization uniting in a single legal and administrative body a number of local congregations. Webster's Seventh New Collegiate Dictionary. A large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. That's from the American Heritage Dictionary. So, when you talk about churches uniting under a single administrative head, how can they do that? We'll talk more about that later, but I would like to see if you have an answer for that now. How can Christians unite together as one in this local church to do anything? Put their resources under common leadership, a common fund, right? And what that fund goes for, all the Christians who contributed to it have a share in. But it's the church acting as one. So, the Southern Baptist denomination is a collective of Southern Baptist churches that send delegates to the Southern Baptist Convention and funds and operate through that hierarchy. Do you know that the Southern Baptists will tell you they're autonomous? You know what autonomy means, don't you? Self-governing. But in fact, it's an amalgamation. That money they send, they don't have control over it anymore. They can decide whether to send or not. But the Southern Baptist Convention decides how it's spent. So that is a denomination. The Southern Baptist denomination is comprised of Southern Baptist churches that work under a single legal and administrative head. If you take a number of churches of Christ, and they send their funds to one church to do a work worldwide and preach the gospel, what is that collectivity? It's a denomination. That's exactly what our brethren are doing. Okay, we'll develop that further. But you can see if our concepts about church, correct, it'll keep us maybe from going down that path. Okay. Comment? Yes, sir.
You probably got this verse from material. I haven't looked at that closely, but
1 Peter 2:17. If you'll turn over there, folks.
And love the brotherhood. If you heard the church, both the church is thinking about the churches, or the churches. But I think this would either go back to what universal church, firstborn one Hebrews 12:1, and here it's a hood of brothers.
Good point. I hadn't thought about that. No, I don't think I have that in the lessons, David. Thank you. Brotherhood, not churchhood. Love the brotherhood. Yes, ma'am.
The NET Bible says, love the family of believers.
You reckon that's a translation?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. That's the dangers of other versions. All versions, sometimes instead of translating, interpret. I don't know of an exception. The one that does it the least is the one that probably nobody in this audience has. Unless you have one. The American Standard of 1901. It probably does it the least. But if you're going to use the modern versions, the NIV, the ESV, the NET Bible, the NRSV, keep a copy of like the King James, the New King James, the New American Standard. You've got some of those, I know. And compare. If you have an ASV, that's a real good one to compare with. But at least if you have the New American Standard and either the King James or New King James, you have two versions that represent the two major family of text. And if that other version puts in a bunch of other words, there may be that they're not translating, but interpreting. So that's, I'm glad you brought that out, Sally. Yes?
A comment and question. So it seems to me that maybe the piece that's the most difficult to grasp through all this is the district aspect of the church.
The what?
The district.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm looking at Acts 9:31 for that. And so the church throughout all of Judea and Galilee. The point that you're making is that would be one the same as saying so the Christians throughout Judea and Samaria.
That's what he's talking about. He just collected them.
It would not be the same as so the congregations through Judea and Samaria.
The congregation? Yeah, that would be an acceptable alternative.
But
not congregations. No, but singular.
Okay, yeah.
The point was raised in class, why isn't this the church universal? Well, if it included all the Christians, it would be. I don't know that it did. I know from Galatians 1 there were churches in Judea. Paul talked about that even before he went to Jerusalem. So, but if it included all Christians, I see no reason to put the district qualification, the geographical qualification on it. But the point is, And this is a good example of what I just got through talking about. We got our resident King James Version person in the audience, I guess. Do you have your King James, Sally?
Of course.
Of course. Read Acts 9:31 in the King James.
Acts 9:31.
Then what? Read that again.
Then 9:31, right?
Right.
Then had the churches rest.
Churches, right?
Churches.
Okay, that's what I wanted. Churches. So someone might read the King James, and I think New King James probably has churches. And then it does. And then you read the American Standard, it has church, and so they might conclude, see, church and churches are synonymous. One version says churches and one says church. Would that be a correct conclusion? No. This is an example of the fact that American Standard, New American Standard, those versions favor one family of manuscripts. King James, New King James favor another family of manuscripts. In one version it's plural, in one version it's singular. And it's not, you can't say, oh, that one uses church and that one uses churches, so they're synonymous terms. That's not so. It's not critical. Why did I use Acts 9:31 if it's translated that way? Because it's the only place I know in the New Testament the word church is used that way. Yes?
Mine says the church everywhere in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria.
Okay.
Church.
church singular. They're following the family manuscripts that has it singular.
Yes.
So it's just a collectivity of Christians in that area. They didn't meet together. They had no fun. They had no oversight. It's just a group. That's all. A group. Okay. Let's go to question 13. Or questions 13. Do the following convey clear scripture concepts of the church? Be sure you're able to give specific reasons for either agreeing or disagreeing. You go to the hospital. They say, what are you religiously? I'm a Church of Christ.
Really?
Are you?
No.
What do people often mean by that? They may mean that. They may mean I go to a Church of Christ. They may mean I'm a member of a Church of Christ. I fear, however, that what they mean is I subscribe to Church of Christ doctrine. Good question. I don't know. But I fear that's what's meant. Or I'm a member of the Church of Christ denomination. That is, comprised of churches of Christ. So if they mean I go to a Church of Christ, it may just be a harmless misstatement. But you are not a Church of Christ any more than a cow is a herd. Or a student is a class. Or a soldier is an army. Okay, you had a comment, Mark. Denomination.
It seems to be what they say. They don't say that they're, that's what they mean, but when they define themselves or they define their beliefs, it ends up being supporting them, those positions.
I suspect if you ask them, what do you mean by that? I don't know that they'd be able to give you a clear definition.
They weren't.
Because sometimes we say things and we don't stop to think about it. And I'm guilty of that. I guess we all are. But that's why we're studying. So don't tell people you're a Church of Christ. What can you tell them? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a disciple. Of course, if you say I'm a Christian, I say I am too. Maybe that'll open the door for discussion. Sally?
A lot of people think Baptist, Methodist, they're all Christians.
Oh, yes. A lot of people think that, certainly.
So I think if you say that you're a Christian, that doesn't really tell them anything.
Tells them the truth? What do you want to tell them? I'm a Church of Christ Christian? So now you tell them you're a member of the Church of Christ. Oh, yeah, I've been over to your church. Y'all got Coke machines in the foyer. They've been over Bama Road. So what do you got to say? No, I'm a member of the Church of Christ at Humble that meets at 621 Herman Street, Avenue F. And put that on my bracelet, please. You had, well, I saw a hand right in here somewhere.
That was me. If you answer simply, I'm a Christian, that may be the correct answer, but it hasn't satisfied the purpose of the question. What they really want to know is what hat to put on you.
That's really what they want to know, what hat to put on you. Maybe I don't want them to know what hat to put on.
Well, but I'm just saying it doesn't satisfy what they're looking for.
They wouldn't be satisfied if I tell them what it is either. That's true. I'm sure you're right, Deanna. Yes.
What about I'm a member of Christ Church?
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm a member of Christ Church. That'd be a good answer. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I know about the denomination, Christ Church. But your answer, nothing wrong with your answer. Ennis? Austin, you had a comment?
Yeah.
You're going to have to raise your hand or wave your flag or something.
I thought it'd be important to mention that it's not people that define what the word Christian means. It's God who's laid down the definition for that term. And as far as I know, being a Christian in God's eyes means hearing His word, being baptized, following His commandments.
That's right. Just because they're a member of Church of Christ doesn't mean they're a Christian, does it? We'll talk more about that in a later lesson. Question. What does the Church of Christ teach about the purpose of baptism? Answer. The Church teaches that baptism is for the remission of sins. Is that a good answer?
No.
Why not? Church is the people, and the church is not authoritative. That's right. Now, but listen. What does the word creed mean? I believe. You ever walked in a building of a Church of Christ and there's a tract that says what we believe?
Yes.
What is that? That's a creed. You want to know what I want to believe? Just ask me. I don't want to speak for you. And I sure don't want you to speak for me. And it's not the church's job to set what everybody believes. This is a group of people who have some pretty common beliefs about Christ and how you're saved. But you know what? In this group, not everybody believes the same thing about everything religiously. I saw a hand. Mike? Which church?
We're talking about the church. The church originally, going back to 1 Corinthians 12, had apostles and teachers, and so forth, prophets and teachers. They taught the doctrine of Christ. The church has a mission. The mission is to teach.
Which church? When I teach, does the church here teach?
No.
There is a way in which the church works through an agent. That's true. The Philippians had fellowship with the Apostle Paul. And through men they support, they have fellowship in the work they're doing, if you want to say the church teaches. That's not what's meant here. They mean is the church teaches that baptism is for the remission of sins. Our church, whether they're talking denomination or local church, that's their doctrine. It really doesn't make any difference what the church teaches to me as far as what I need to believe. What I want to know is what this teaches. And then I want to try to get the church I'm a member of, the people to believe that, and those who teach to teach that.
Steve, 1 Timothy 3:15 says the church supports truth.
Right? Pillar and ground of the truth.
So there's some relationship between the church and truth.
And in that context, all right, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and what he just got through talking about.
Elders.
Huh? Elders. And if the church wants to be a pillar and ground of the truth, you better get the right kind of men to lead it. And who was the letter written to? An evangelist, a preacher. And if you want a church to stand for the truth, you better get a preacher that's going to hold the pattern of sound words, 2 Timothy 1:13. And throughout those letters, one of the things he emphasized, particularly in the second letter, is that the Christians who are part of that church live that life that's according to truth. And thus it supports the truth. Yes.
How's the word church used?
In 1 Timothy 3, I think it's local, personally. Not everybody agrees with me on that. Sorry, they're mistaken. But no, I believe it is local. I've got some good friends of mine, men I really respect as gospel preachers, that do not agree with that. They believe it's church universal. I think it's local. I think the context is local. I don't know that it would be consequential either way. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to go to Revelation, the second chapter, to the church of Ephesus, when it says that you cannot lure people in, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. We found them to be false, that working collectively or individually, people, Christians, doing that.
Well, let's say, so the elders get together, decide this guy's a false teacher, and tell you he's a false teacher, don't listen to him? Is that what our job is? We find this guy to be false. He's teaching error. So we're going to tell you, we're your elders, don't listen to that guy. Is that our job?
No. Each individual.
You can warn him about what he's teaching. But that doesn't mean telling, now John Doe is a false teacher, and he's a false teacher because I tell you so. If he's a false teacher, tell the people why he's a false teacher. It's not the elder's job to state orthodoxy. It's not the preacher's job to state orthodoxy. It's the preacher's job to teach. We have forums here. Why do we have forums? Because I can't think of another sermon to preach that evening, or what? To allow questions. People differ. You hear something, say, I don't know if I agree with that. Is that healthy?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not the standard. That's one reason we have them. The preacher's not the standard. The elders are not the standard. God's Word is the standard. Are you going to find a local church that you become a member of, you're going to agree with everything that's taught? No. No, you're not. Unless you say, I'm going to subscribe to their creed. Okay. He is a true Church of Christ preacher. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. And I'm going to tell you what it means, not on the basis of hypothetical, but actual cases. I experienced it. I've heard of others who have experienced this very thing. He doesn't give the invitation, the steps to the plan of salvation at the end of his sermon. He's not a Church of Christ preacher. Ever heard that? Anybody? If you're a Church of Christ preacher, that's what you do. Can we give the steps to the plan of salvation at the end of a sermon? Is that okay?
Sure.
Must we?
No.
No. How many sermons in the New Testament gave it? See, we've got this concept of Church of Christ doctrine, that this is what is church, what's a Church of Christ preacher? One that preaches what Churches of Christ preach? Is it the Church of Christ denomination? Is it a local church? If that's the case, a Church of Christ preacher in Humble and a Church of Christ preacher at Bamel Road are two different fellows. You know it? There's a church, I don't even know if they still call them a Church of Christ. Somebody was telling me the other day they went somewhere. I believe it was Mark Bailey, he was visiting with us. He went somewhere in Dallas or Fort Worth and thought it was a Church of Christ. They had, I don't know how many different assemblies. And they had one assembly with kind of rock music. They had one assembly with a cappella music. They had one assembly with instrumental music. And they had, I don't know what all else. And I've been on the website of Churches of Christ, quote. It's pretty clear from the things that are being said. They may say that baptism for remission of sins, but it's not a really an issue. Right. We need to be more faithful to the church. You go out and visit with somebody. We need to be more faithful to the church. Faithful to the brethren, faithful to the Lord. There's a sense in which I guess this is true. Faithful to our team. Church is a team. But all I'm trying to do, are we clear on what we mean? Being faithful to a church is not going to get you to heaven. Being faithful to the Lord will make you faithful to your team. But that's where the focus needs to be. In the restoration movement, the church was restored. What about that state? What?
I didn't know the church was ever lost.
Well, that's your problem, Rod. David told me he was talking to somebody. Wasn't it you or somebody you knew?
In a Bible class like this.
And I think this was in Florida, I think you said. Was it one of the elders?
One of the preachers.
Well, just tell him what he said.
He just said that the class needed to remember that shortly after the first century, the church ceased to exist. And it didn't exist again until the 1800s when Alexander Campbell came along and brought it back into existence.
So see, Rod? You go into the wrong place. I thought we'd finish lesson one tonight. Maybe we'll give a cursory review, look at some of these, and get on into lesson two, the Lord willing, on Sunday morning. Thank you.